podcast. All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. I am Rob McConnell, and for the next 4 hours, I'm your host and your guide as together we cross the time-space continuum to this place that I call the X Zone. Now, it's a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. It's a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. And the X Zone comes to you Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern right here on the X Zone Broadcast Network, Talkstar Radio Network, Mutual Broadcast Network, and our family of broadcast affiliates right around the world. And of course, for all the information on the X Zone TV channel on Simul TV, visit www.simultv.com. Now, to contact us, it's very simple. The same email address that we've had for the last 31 years, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, and on all social media sites, X Zone Radio TV. And for all the programming we have available for you 24/7, 365 on the X Zone Broadcast Network, visit www.xzbn.net. X Zone Nation, my guest this hour is Dr. George Schwimmer. He was a theater director for 30 years, a college professor, and has been a metaphysical investigator and practitioner for over 43 years. He has employed Reiki healing, past life therapy, spirit releasement therapy, shamanic healing, and distance healing. And he has written 20 books on these subjects, which have all been received very well as he's written 3 unique stage plays. Now, if you'd like to find out more information about our guest this hour, or if you'd like to order any of his books, just Google him, or when you go to Amazon.ca or Amazon.com, just put in his name there, George Schwimmer. Joining me now from Santa Fe, New Mexico, is George Schwimmer. And George, welcome to the X Zone.
Hi, good to be with you.
George, what was it that started you on your 43-year metaphysical journey?
It started in 1978, January of 1978. Mm-hmm. My younger son, David, went on a kayaking course with Outward Bound, and they went to the Sea of Cortez off the coast of Baja California.
Right.
And about 10 days in, his crew got caught with a windstorm, and he was lost at sea along with 2 other students. And that just blew my world apart, as you can imagine. And unfortunately, at that time, Outward Bound refused to give us any information about what happened, claiming their insurance company was telling them not to give us anything. And fortunately, I was able to get a list of all the students and their phone numbers. Mm-hmm. And so I called the students, and I did research at North Carolina State University Library, where I was living at the time in Raleigh. And I couldn't get enough information. David had been in a double canoe with a partner, a girl named Brenda Herman, and they had gotten separated from their group, and they were paddling towards shore, and they were never seen again. So I really didn't know what happened to him. His body was never found. And so when I couldn't pursue a normal research, I turned to psychics. And I'd read a little bit over the previous years about psychics and healers and things like that.
Right.
And fortunately, the first one I found was recommended by people who I knew in my community. And then later on, there were a couple of others. And while I was looking for these psychics for information, I was given the name of a Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship, which was having a retreat. I think it was August of 1978. And they said there's going to be a lot of psychics there. And I said, okay. So I signed up. This was a six-day retreat, and I went there. And I did find a couple of psychics. Mm-hmm. And since I was there for 6 days, they had lectures and they had workshops. And I noticed a workshop that said Reiki healing. And I had never heard of Reiki healing, but I had a little bit of interest in healing, having read about a couple of healers in years past. So I signed up. And so for the next 4 afternoons, for about an hour and a half, I was initiated, which is the term that they use, mm-hmm. for Reiki healing. And that's how I got started on this journey that's been going on for 43 years.
Now, what is a metaphysical investigator?
Well, you know, you have, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. You know, most people that you read in books, and they are, they have a third person view of what's going on.
Right.
Okay. So, they're not hands-on. They're investigating other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you read about, you know, the latest healer du jour, the person who wrote about him doesn't know the first thing about healing. They're just a writer, and they listen and they observe, and whatever. What I discovered when I got started on this journey was, first of all, everybody has a game plan when they come to Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently my game plan was part of it for the last 43 years. Anyway, my game plan was to not only, you know, interview people and write about them, but to immerse mm-hmm. myself in what it was that was I was writing about. And I had no intention to write about any of this stuff to begin with. It was just fascinating, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, these opportunities kept walking in front of me and saying, here I am, take advantage of me if you want. So this was the first one. And so I learned how to do Reiki. This was a first degree Reiki and then later a second degree Reiki. And that was the beginning of the whole thing. So in my case, in everything that I have looked into mm-hmm. and practice, I was immersed in it. So I am a Reiki healer, a past life regressionist, I'm a spirit releasement, I'm a shaman.
Now let me ask you, some of our listeners may not know what Reiki is, so how would you explain Reiki to somebody who's never heard about it before?
Okay, the word Reiki mm-hmm. is a Japanese word which apparently means universal healing energy. Now, the question of where this energy comes from, I can't tell you. What I was told by our teachers was that mm-hmm. they are transferring energy into us. They steal that energy into us, and we have the healing ability for the rest of our lives.
Now, who are they?
What do you mean, who are they?
Well, you said they transfer the healing energy.
The teacher, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You have a teacher. Everybody mm-hmm. has a teacher. This is a Reiki master. I happen to have the first Reiki, Occidental Reiki master, Virginia Sandall. And I got this Reiki transfer in 78, and she only became a Reiki master, I think, was in 76. So I was one of the earliest people to receive Reiki. So in any case, I don't know where that energy comes from. Now, I had one interesting experience. I had a friend who was also somewhat psychic, and we were trading services one day. And we're talking about exactly what you asked, you know, where does it come from?
Right.
And she said, let me tune in on that. And she tuned in and she says, oh, okay. She said, everybody has this ability when you're born, but because of the way we raise children and because of our worldview where we don't want to believe in this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. You lose the ability to do it. So when the Reiki master does these whatever they do to infuse you supposedly with this energy, what they're really doing is they're hooking you back up to what you were born with. So that's all I can tell you about it. I don't know anything else that I can tell you about it. But what I can tell you is that I know that there is some kind of energy flowing into me. And anybody who I touch for 2 or 3 minutes, they also report either heat, vibration, or energy.
Now, what kind of healings have you done using Reiki yourself?
Okay, this is a hands-on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off by doing a physical Reiki. And when you're a second-degree Reiki healer, you learn to do, you're able to do, you don't really learn it, just mm-hmm. you're able to do distant healing. You're also able to do psychological healing where you help a person with mental problems. I've never really had much use for the mental problems because I never had people come to me with mental problems. They all came with physical problems. So this has been a physical problem. Let me give you one example.
Yes, please.
Which is pretty weird. I was at the time a member of a Search for God group, the Edward Casey group.
Mm-hmm.
One member of our group, a woman in about, I don't know, 35, 40 years old, we were talking, and when I came back from this, I mentioned that I did Reiki, and she said she had problems with her hips, and she didn't specify, and I'm not a doctor, so who cares? You know, she had problems with her hips, and I said, well, you know,
yeah.
You're welcome to... I'll be glad to help you. And she said, well, I can't pay you. And I said, okay, well, Reiki says that you have to pay me something. So in compensation, supposing you write detailed notes of what you experience and give them to me, and that'll be payment. And so she said, okay. So I saw her, I'm not sure, about half a dozen times. And it was usually about an hour and a half that I worked on her.
Right.
And when I say I worked on her, all I'm doing actually is putting my hands on various parts of her body, which are specified by the Reiki method. And a great deal of the time, the client goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I almost go to sleep. Well, she reported various things happening in her body, including energy in various parts of her body, and things suddenly she noticed something. She said, oh, something just snapped inside of me. So anyway, I don't have it in front of me, but she had a whole litany of things mm-hmm. that she was experiencing. Well, one day I'm doing the Reiki and she's just about asleep and I'm just about asleep. And she says, I feel your hands inside my body. And I looked at my hands and I said, no, my hands aren't inside your body. And she said, well, I feel a pair of hands inside my body and they're manipulating my hip bones.
All right, George, stand by. We've got to take our first break. And when we come back, let's hear the rest of this story. ExoNation, my guest this hour is Dr. George Schwimmer. And for more information about George, just go to Amazon.ca or Amazon.com. And in their search engine, just type in George Schwimmer, and that's George S-C-H-W-I-M-M-E-R. This is The X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. George and I will be back on the other side of this break as we continue from our broadcast center and studios in Crystal Beach, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
sheets, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night, blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Welcome back, everyone. If you'd like to send me an email, it's very simple, xzone at xzoneradiotv.com. On all social media sites, you can contact us here by simply typing in xzone radio TV. And for all the broadcast schedules that we have of all the great shows on the xzone broadcast network, 724-365 with our compliments, visit xzbn.net. George Schwimmer is our guest this hour, and George, before we went to the break, we were talking about this lady that you were working on who had hip problems, and when we left you, she was telling you that she felt hands inside her body.
Yeah, and at that time, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't say, I could tell her anything, mm-hmm. And interestingly, a couple of years later, I read a book called Joy's Way by Dr. Brew Joy, who's an energy healer. And he reported the same thing. He said some of his clients would report that his hands were inside wow. their body. Wow. Now, I can only give you two theoretical responses to that. Mm-hmm. Number one, it is possible for a discarnate spirit of a doctor to work through the body of a healer like myself. That's number one.
Okay.
One possibility. The second is we all have a energy body, which some call the luminous energy field, and it has the same shape as a physical body, and I believe that the physical body, the energy body is a template for the physical body, and the physical body is constructed around this energy body. And so the other possibility is that somehow my energy hands, if you will, are actually in her body, but I'm not aware of that happening. That's just theoretical.
Speaking about energy, when I was doing the research for tonight's show, you mentioned a luminous energy field. What is that?
Okay. The outer edges of the luminous energy field mm-hmm. is what people call the aura.
Right.
The luminous energy field, according to people who can actually see it, they say that there are actually seven bodies. The physical body is one of them. And then there are six energy bodies, which are like dolls inside one another. Mm-hmm. And then on each energy body, there are what are called chakras. And chakras are whirling energy fields. The major chakras are along the vertical axis of your body, starting with your groin, mm-hmm. and depending on who's talking, it can be seven of them. There can be two more above your head, which is what shamans believe, and one lady said there is a chakra under your feet, which is in the ground, which I assume is to ground you. I don't know, but anyway, so they can be, and then you also have chakras in the palms of your hands, the soles of your feet, and in all of your joints. Hmm. And I am assuming that the chakras in your hands are responsible for your healing abilities.
How long did it take you to learn all the lessons that you have and all the experience that you have when it comes to Reiki? Was it over a long period of time?
No, Reiki, it doesn't take very long at all. The first degree, mm-hmm. As I said, takes about 6 hours to learn. But then, of course, you have to have experience. And then when I got the second degree Reiki, I think it was even less. It was about 4 hours or so. So Reiki is a very simple thing. And I think I mentioned that, you know, even a three-year-old can do it once he has been initiated into the Reiki energy system.
Now, what kind of initiation is there?
Well, it's not an initiation. They call it an initiation, but what it is, the Reiki master goes through a process of using certain symbols to activate whatever is going on. And they don't even touch you in the first degree Reiki. What I experienced was I'd sit there on a chair and she would come in back of me, mm-hmm. and she'd be doing something in the air behind my head, and I don't know what she was doing. Well, I now know what she was doing because I learned how to do it later. But at the time, she didn't even touch me. So this gets to be very esoteric. And the only way you can tell that anything is going on, and I was skeptical to begin with. I wasn't a believer at that time because this sounded truly weird to me.
Okay.
And so I was at lunch one day, I think the second or third day, and I was having lunch with an older gentleman across the table from me, and I was telling him about my experiences, and I said, there was one young woman in a class. Virginia had us sit in a circle and put our hands on the other person's shoulder in front of us and channel Reiki around in a circle. And so after several minutes, I looked across the room. It was a pretty large group, about 50 people. And I see this one young woman and her arms were flapping like a bird. And I thought to myself, oh, give me a break. You're grandstanding. And somebody behind her apparently said something. And she said very sharply, I can't help it. I can't stop it. And so she was feeling this Reiki energy. So I went, when I was with this gentleman at lunch, I asked him, I said, do you mind if I try it out on you? And he said, no, go ahead. So I went around in back of him and put my hands on his shoulders. And Virginia said, it takes 3 minutes for this to start taking effect. So after about 5 minutes, I finally said to him, well, did you feel anything? He said, yes. And I said, what? He says, energy. And ever since then, if I put my hands on anybody for 2 or 3 minutes, they're going to feel energy or heat or vibrations. Hmm. And when I got home, I told my wife about this. Mm-hmm. And my older son, Eric, came into the kitchen while I was talking with my wife. And this one psychic had told me that my adrenals had been affected by David's death. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, well, if my adrenals had been affected, then Eric's adrenals must have been affected too. And so I just said to Eric, you want to see if you can feel any Reiki? And he said, sure. So I put my hands on his shoulders and I kept talking to my wife. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about putting my hands on Eric. And after about 15 minutes, I finally realized I still have my hands on him. And I said, Eric, did you feel anything? He said, yeah, energy. Thanks, Dad. And he walked out of the room. So something is going on all the time. I can't tell you where it comes from or what it is. I imagine someday scientists are going to invent some kind of a machine like all the strange machines we have now to measure various kinds of things like, X-rays and ultraviolet rays and cosmic rays and so on and so forth, and they'll be able to measure it. Actually, there was one English physician who invented a screen, and I forget the name of the liquid he put into it, but it was a glass screen which had a certain dye in it, mm-hmm. and through this screen you could see some of the luminous energy field around the person. And I later read a book by a lady named Shafika Karagula, and she had been a Canadian psychiatrist, and she came to Los Angeles and she got interested in energy fields and gave up psychiatry, and she found some people who could see the energy field. And after working on this for several years, she said, there are doctors who will never tell you they're doing it, but there are doctors who can see your energy field. And she found two women who were top executives, two corporate executives, who it was the same story. She wouldn't give their names, mm-hmm. because they'd be ruined. And they could see these energy fields, and they could predict 6 months in advance if you're going to get cancer, for example. So the energy field not only shows what's going on inside you right now, but it will show you the beginnings of something which will maybe not show up for 6 months. The chakras and the energy field also keep a record of every single solitary thing that has ever happened to you in this life or any other life.
So does this tie in with the Akashic records?
In a manner of speaking, yes. I never thought of it that way, but it's the same sort of thing. See, the Akashic records and your luminous energy field,
right,
both must be very complex energy fields that work like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain to you how that can work that way, except I remember I once read something about Einstein's theory. Let's see what it was called. Unified field theory. And the unified field theory says that the reason that you see the image of a star many miles away is because all of the little light particles stay together. Because if they didn't stay together, they would just scatter all over the place, and you'd never have an image of anything, as far as that went, with light. So this unified field theory keeps all these little pieces of light together to give you the image of a star. So I believe that your luminous energy field and the Akashic records as well work on that principle, that these bits of energy, which are much, much smaller than atoms or even subatomic particles and so on, they go together to form constructs, which I have no idea how they do that. But these constructs apparently exist.
What has been the most amazing healing that you have done? I mean, besides from the lady with the hip problems, has there been any healing that you've done either in person or by distance that has just blown you away?
I'll give you two, but I want to preface it by one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught by my Reiki, by my shamanic healer, Alberto Villaldo, PhD, that there are healing and there is curing. And you heal the spiritual and you cure the physical. And he said, sometimes you will heal the spiritual and the person will die. Okay.
Okay.
That was very interesting, but I didn't get any experience with that until about 3 years ago. I was involved in a business deal, and one of my business partners happened to email me that he had emphysema. It was very bad. He was on oxygen, and based on what he was writing, he said, I thought, I expected that he'd probably be dead in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, I wrote back and I said, well, I'm a Reiki healer. I'm a distant healer. I'm also a shamanic healer. And I said, if you'd like me to send you some healing, I'll be glad to do so. And so I applied some shamanic healing, which you don't do on a regular basis. You just do it once or twice or three times usually.
All right, George, we're going to have another cliffhanger here because I do have to take my news break at the bottom of the hour. So please stand by. Exo Nation, George Schwimmer is our special guest this hour. If you'd like to find out more about George, if you'd like to buy any of his books, visit his Amazon site simply by going to amazon.ca or amazon.com, and in the Amazon search engine, just put in George Schwimmer. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as we continue here in the X-Zone with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. That's right, Niagara is the region. Crystal Beach is the city. We'll be back. Don't go away.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the X-Zone. George Schwimmer is my guest this hour. And if you'd like to find out more about George, as I've been telling you for the last 30 minutes, go to Amazon.ca or Amazon.com. And in the Amazon search engine, just type in George's name. And that is George Schwimmer. And Schwimmer is spelled S-C-H-W-I-M-M-E-R. George, go ahead with the story that we were talking about before we went to the break.
Right. So I require people who I furnish distant healing mm-hmm. to write to me, send me emails every two or three days and tell me how they're doing. Because I don't conduct it over the phone. It's too time consuming. And the emails are a lot easier, and that way I always keep a record of what happened also. So after about 3 days, he writes back and he said, wow. He said, you know, my coughing is about 25% of what it was before you started. And so for the next month or so, I was sending Reiki every day for him.
Wow.
And every 3 or 4 days, he would write back and say, oh, boy, I'm feeling so much better. I'm using less and less oxygen. And I don't have trouble walking around. And at the end of the month, he said, I can hardly tell I'm sick anymore. He said, I'm still using oxygen, of course, but he said, I have no symptoms whatsoever. And so I thought, well, that's terrific. You know, I expect, you know, he's recovered and he'll continue recovering, which mm-hmm. is what usually happens if people have received healing. Well, several weeks later, he sent me an email. He says, I'm feeling worse. And all of a sudden, he has another disease.
Oh, no.
Well, this is common. This is not uncommon. You see, some people really want to die. They won't say it consciously, or they won't think it consciously, but subconsciously they know they're supposed to die. And so if you cure them of one thing, they're liable to contract another disease and die from that other disease. And that's exactly what happened with this gentleman. Now, there was one thing which gave me made me feel that he wasn't meant to be cured. He was meant to be healed. And the reason I say that is because on one or two occasions, he said, well, he said, you know, I've got a lot of physical problems, but he said, I really feel good spiritually. Now, you know, he had no reason to say that. I didn't solicit it in any way, shape or form. I didn't discuss spirituality or anything like that. He said this spontaneously. He wrote this spontaneously. So my feeling was, for some reason, he needed another six weeks or a couple of months of physical life, and then he was going to die. But that, you know, who knows? The point is that the reports that he gave to me for a month showed that he was getting better and better and better and better, and that his, you know, his condition at the beginning of the month compared to the end of the month, there was no comparison. I mean, it was just so much better. The other one I want to mention, which is really strange, and, mm-hmm. and this less in the realms of healing, but I mean, obviously some healing took place. I had a woman about 35, 40 years old in Australia. And she had a long history, and I can't even remember what it all was. But anyway, she wanted healing from me. And I said, okay, you know. And I worked with her doing various and sundry things, Reiki and shamanic healing and spirit releasement and so on and so forth. And this went on for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. And one day she sent me an email, and she said, my face has changed. Her features were actually changing, and she sent me photographs of her before we started the work and after we started the work. And the odd part at this point was that half of her face had changed at this point, And the new half of the face was a lot more attractive than the other half of the face. And she was certain that the rest of her face would change also. So there's something, you know, really strange.
Yeah.
If nothing else, that obviously the bone structure had to change in her face. You know, this wasn't superficial. It wasn't a question of her just her skin changing, but the bone structure changed. And I never had an experience like that before, where, you know, the bone structure would change.
Now let me ask you this, George. Did you see this lady before the alleged changing in her bone structure?
No.
So how do you know it really happened?
She sent me photographs. The one photograph was taken before mm-hmm. she started work with me, and the other photograph was taken when we were working halfway through.
Okay.
But you could see the difference.
All right. So help me understand how distant healing works. If you just correspond by email, how does it work? Like, I can understand it if you're there, if the person is there and you lay your hands on them, or, you know, you do whatever you do as a Reiki practitioner while the person is there in front of you. But how does it work distantly?
When I was living in Los Angeles, I came here to Santa Barbara to New Mexico, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was an article in the Los Angeles Times, and the headline read, "Time and space do not exist." And they quoted a very well-known, very well-respected, and very brilliant theoretical physicist who was quoted in the LA Times as saying, "I am almost positive that time and space do not exist." Now, this is the belief of shamans as well. It's an illusion. I'm sure you've heard that before in one context or another.
Yeah, I have heard it, but I have a problem believing it.
Right. Okay, let me tell you what the shamans say.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me start with time. According to a great many mystics, including modern metaphysicians, so on, all of time is simultaneous. Now, that sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
But that's what they say. And pick up your phone and call any theoretical physicist, and he'll tell you the same thing.
But wait a second. When you're talking about a theoretical physicist, the name theoretical means whatever they come up with is in theory.
Right.
So how can we base anything on theoretical physicists? And even you said not more than a few minutes ago that the article in the LA Times where this person was quoted said almost.
Right. Well, let's remember that Einstein started out with theories. It took, I don't know how many years, 30, mm-hmm. 40, 50 years for physicists to prove that Einstein was, in fact, correct. So, you know, I believe that people like Einstein, people call him geniuses, and you think, oh, well, he's got a very high IQ, which he probably did. But I believe that people like that really are a form of mystic or psychic, and they get their ideas out of the universe. Don't ask me what part of the universe or, you know, how they get it, but they get these inspirations, and that includes people like Mozart too,
mm-hmm.
you know, musicians and artists and writers. And
so would that also include savants?
Possibly, but mm-hmm. I believe that in most cases, savants are really recalling and re-experiencing a past life where they had those particular talents, because I've read that most savants mm-hmm. Lose their ability after they're about 6 or 7 or 8 years old.
What got you interested in past life therapy?
Edgar Cayce.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Why is there such a a following for Edgar Cayce when he wasn't right all the time. Like his hit and miss average, I believe, is 60% right to 40% wrong.
No, that's not true. I don't know where you got that figure from.
Well, didn't Edgar Cayce predict that the lost continent of Atlantis would surface?
Okay, all right. Let's separate things, okay?
Okay, sure.
Let's separate predictions with knowledge of present things, knowledge of things in the past, either in this life or in a past life, and knowledge of maybe short-term things. In other words, something that is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, or in one case, for example, where you can find oil in Texas.
Okay. Can you give me an example of each one of those predictions that you're talking about? You know, because, you know, there are a lot of people who really believe in Edgar Cayce as being the sleeping prophet, and yet there are still many more who do not give him what many believe are his dues.
Okay. I separate his predictions from all his other work.
Mm-hmm.
For reason.
Okay.
As talented as he was, there was a psychic named Alan Vaughn, and I met him in L.A. when I was living there. And Alan wrote a book about prophecy, and he said 98% of prophecies don't work out.
Right.
Okay. So there could be many reasons for this, but one of the reasons, obviously, is if you tell a person, and this has happened, even I think it happened with Cayce. If Cayce says to someone, look, you have scheduled a trip to Miami by train. If you get on that train, you're going to get killed. Okay, the train is going to wreck and you're going to get killed.
Okay.
So that's a prophecy, mm-hmm. All right? Now, if the lady decides to go anyway and the train wrecks and she is killed, then Cayce has, you know, fulfilled his prophecy.
But what happens if the lady goes and there's nothing that happens and she gets to her destination feeling very well and fine, and whatever she was doing in the destination is a great success?
Okay, that usually doesn't happen. Let me give you the other.
Wait a sec. Hold on here. You said that you met a psychic who said that 98% of all predictions do not happen.
Right.
So how can you say that it usually doesn't happen when a prediction is given of doom and gloom and the outcome is positive?
Well, who says that a prediction has to be good or bad? You're assuming that all predictions are bad.
Oh, no, sir, I'm not. I'm not assuming that. That's the example you gave.
Okay, let me finish. You haven't let me finish.
All right, hold on. We've got to take our final break, so please stand by. X-Zone Nation, George Schwimmer is our guest. www. Go to Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. And in the search engine at Amazon, put in George Schwimmer. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break as we wrap up this hour here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center in Crystal Beach, Ontario, which is part of the Niagara region of Ontario. And because we are in the COVID crisis here in Canada, please, to all our listeners in Canada, don't forget your social distancing, wear your mask, and get your COVID shots as soon as you can. The X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard, with yours truly, Rob McConnell, continues after this short break.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time for hesitation.
A new day.
Welcome back, everyone. If you'd like to send me an email, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, my email address is xzoneradiotv.com. All the programming available on the X-Zone Broadcast Network is available just by going to www.xzbn.net. Check out our broadcast schedule. You can listen online. You can download these shows and listen to them at your convenience. And also, if you'd like to watch the X-Zone TV channel on SimulTV, visit www.simultv.com. George Schwimmer is our guest. And George, before we went to the break, we started talking about Edgar Cayce, and you were giving us some examples.
Okay. There are different kinds of predictions. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned that we all come into life with a life plan. It's sort of like a game plan, you know, if you're a football team. You have a game plan, right, what you'd like to do, but once you get out on the field, you find out maybe you can do some of your game plan, maybe you can't, mm-hmm, depending on circumstances. Some things in your life are fixed, okay? I won't say Kennedy's death was fixed, but it's pretty close to being fixed. So there are certain things that are fixed. Who you're going to marry is probably fixed. It's not cast in stone, mm-hmm, but you came with a game plan of who are going to be your parents, who are going to be your lovers, who are going to be your mates, and so on. So you have a game plan with certain goalposts that are hammered into the ground, and you have to go past that goalpost.
Now who supplies us with this game plan?
I'm sorry?
Where do we get this game plan from?
You plan your game plan by yourself when you're a spirit, along with a group of five or more spirits who may or may not have incarnated with you in previous lives. You may have one or two spirits that never incarnated. Mm-hmm. And anyway, you have a committee. And this committee, by the way, stays with you during your life. And they are influencing you and advising you and helping you. And I don't have time to talk about it, but I've had experiences with this spiritual committee. Anyway, the spiritual committee says to you, look, you are a very wealthy, mm-hmm, king with a lot of power, a lot of wives, a lot of fun. And you need to go and experience the other side of that. So in the next life, you're going to be born into Ireland during the Irish famine. So anyway, you have this committee. Okay, so going back to the predictions, I have read many stories of airplane crashes, train crashes, and similar sorts of things where the plane actually crashed, but several people never got on that plane who were ticketed to get on that plane. They had a flat tire on the way to the airport. Mm-hmm. They had a sudden feeling that they shouldn't go. Usually it's not that strong. Usually something comes up in their life that prevents them from going on that plane. But I remember reading an interesting, mm-hmm, study in France. Somebody did a study of train crashes, and they found out by learning about the number of tickets sold, mm-hmm, on a given day, and they found that there was this horrific crash in France. And so they went back in time and asked the train company to give them the numbers of tickets that were sold on that day, let's say it's a Friday, and on the previous, let's say, 10 Fridays. And what they discovered was that there was a very great decrease in the number of people who took the train that crashed on the final Friday. I forget the number. It was something, right, like 30 or 40 people less.
But how can we say this isn't anything more than coincidence?
There's no such thing as coincidence.
How do we know? Many people believe in coincidences. We come down here with a plan that we have five or six members of our spiritual team that are with us. So what is the difference between you believing in what you believe in when it comes to spirituality and the people who believe in coincidences?
Because I've experienced synchronicity. They only have a theory. You know, it's very easy to say. It's just like the people are saying right now, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, the American election was phony and Trump really won. You can say anything you want to.
That's right.
Okay. I don't have time to give you the type of synchronicity mm-hmm. that happened in my life, but I'll give you one very quick one.
Well, let me ask you this first. Is there a difference between a coincidence and a synchronicity?
Yes, the word synchronicity was coined by Carl Jung,
mm-hmm.
and he said what we call coincidence mm-hmm. is somehow planned at a level that we don't see. See, one of the things that I point out to people is there is a spiritual agenda going on every minute of your life that you're totally unaware of. You're living a physical agenda, mm-hmm. and unless you are extremely sensitive, you're not aware of the spiritual agenda that is taking place underneath.
Then how are we to know that there really is a spiritual event happening that we're unaware of? How do we know that's real?
Well, I can't tell you in a couple of minutes, but let me give you an example.
Okay.
You remember John Walsh?
Sure. America's Most Wanted, yeah.
His son was murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. If John's son had not been murdered,
mm-hmm.
would he have spent the rest of his life chasing down murderers? No.
How do we know?
He would not. Absolutely would not.
But isn't that cause and effect? The cause of the effect was that his son was killed. The reaction of his son being killed was he decided to do what he was doing. You know, America's Most Wanted.
A lot of people go into despair.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-wife went into despair when my son died.
Mm-hmm.
And she never did anything after that for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't deal with it.
Okay.
So why didn't she do something but I did?
Well, that's because she handled grief in a different way than you did.
Okay. So basically what you're saying, Rob, is that life is accidental. Everything is coincidence. Everything is accident. You have a choice to make mm-hmm. as a human being.
Of course.
You can either say things are planned, or you even make it more narrower, I plan these things, or you can say everything is random chance. That's it.
No, I believe that I plan my own destiny. I don't believe that there are spirits around me who are guiding me to do what I do. The onus is on me to make the right decisions. The onus is on me to be a good person. The onus is on me to help my fellow man. The onus is on me to be the best father, the best grandfather I can be.
Well, I can't give you 42 years of experience
mm-hmm.
In a couple of minutes, but I have to go back and just say the choice is that things, yes, I understand what you're saying. Let me say what one of my college professors told me when I was in college. One time we were at his house and talking, and we asked him about free will and predetermination. And he said he believed it was both, that some things were predetermined
mm-hmm.
and other things you had complete free will to do whatever you want to. Now, if you don't believe in the idea of a spirit universe, if you don't believe any of these things, then there's nothing I can tell you, okay? Because there has to be some level of openness to these kind of things.
But let me just ask you this. If that is true, and what you believe in is really there, why can't other people pick it up if it is part of the natural order of existence?
Okay. Mystics tell us that what is happening on planet Earth is a game. By that, I don't mean it's fun and games and it's meaningless or it's silly or anything like that. It's just like your military will tell you that warfare is a game. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that war is not a game in terms of being fun and games. But this is a technical term of being a game, okay? So before we come to this planet, because all time is simultaneous, we all agree we will not look into the future in order to experience whatever it is we need to experience. Because if you looked, if everybody could look into the future mm-hmm. and see the future, there would be no future because everybody would know what was happening and nobody would have an experience. And one of the main things that we are here to experience mm-hmm. are emotions, and you can't have an emotion if you don't have an event to go with it.
But why are we experiencing these emotions, for example, for our own benefit, or are we puppets? Are we?
No. What you are, you are growing. Let's take something. I had my daughter does podcast, and I did a podcast last night, and I was talking with her. Mm-hmm. And she's 60 years old, mm-hmm. and she says she remembers Kennedy's assassination mm-hmm. when she was three years old. She remembers Bobby Kennedy's assassination mm-hmm. when she was about, I don't know, 8. She remembers where she was when Martin Luther King was killed.
Is it real
She told me that all of these events mm-hmm. traumatized her. She still feels at a certain level in the back of her head, mm-hmm. she still feels traumatized by these emotionally laden events.
But are these real memories that she's having, or are these false memories she's having?
No. She described to me where she was and what she was doing and so on. And I know what she was doing when she was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. She told me. She said, I and my wife were glued to the TV set for 4 days. We didn't move. Mm-hmm. The only time we moved was my wife would go out in the kitchen and get something for us to eat. And then for the rest of the time,
right.
For 4 days, we were sitting in front of the TV set.
Yeah.
And this impressed her, that her parents are sitting in front of a TV set for 4 days, looking very, very serious and upset. And she didn't know what was going on.
Right.
She didn't know Kennedy got assassinated, but it left an emotional imprint on her.
All right, George, I hate to do this, but we've run out of time for tonight. And Exo Nation, if you'd like to get more information about our guest this hour, George Schwimmer, visit his Amazon page. That's where everybody goes when they've got something important to say, as they post it on Amazon, where the rest of the world, who aren't guided by spirits, I guess, use websites. For example, ours is www.xzoneradiotv.com. And if you'd like to find out about the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit our website. No, not on Amazon, but at www.xzbn.net. Okay, I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as we continue here in the X Zone with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios in Niagara, Ontario, Canada. That's the region, and we are found in Crystal Beach, part of Niagara. We'll be back. Don't go away.